You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Open your free iHeart app, search R&B Money Podcast, and start listening. Only on the Black Effect Podcast Network.
Boston edition, if you couldn't tell by the music. I'm Charlotte Wilder with Amino Hassan. As always, we're coming to you from the DraftKings headquarters.
From Dad's house.
Yeah, we're at Dad's house, and he has amazing snacks.
That's incredible, man. I don't want to go back home to Mom anymore. I want to live with Dad now.
I really like it here. The studios are beautiful. It's a long time coming that we come and do a show and go to a Celtics game.
I legitimately told Charlotte I don't want to leave. And you guys know how much I don't like Boston.
Yeah, but between Charlotte Wilder and the DraftKings headquarters.
It's mostly the DraftKings headquarters. I've seen Charlotte Wilder before.
Okay, all right. Okay. Moving on.
This is amazing.
Speaking of Boston, I mean, we're going to play a game called Wicked Smart.
Wait, are we going to do just Boston-themed everything for this whole episode?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Did you ever think it was going to be anything different? I could try to do a Boston accent this whole time, but I think I would offend an entire city.
New York?
All of them. Every city. I'm going to put my Stata jacket on and talk about Tom Brady. That actually wasn't bad. That was pretty good.
Tom Brady.
Wicked smart. Uh-huh. Wicked smart. We got to do some math. It's the time of year where NBA fans are doing playoff math,
yes,
trying to figure out what seed their team's going to be. Are they going to fall to the play-in? Blah, blah, blah. And we have some hypothetical math problems here because it's really fascinating how much things can change given what happens.
Right.
Are you ready? We're going to start.
I'm excited for this. This is a fun time of the year because people are always asking, well, how can my team end up with the best possible seeding? And so we're going to actually break all that down in a little game format. We're going to see almost a quiz show.
Wow.
Ready? What is it called? The
buzzer?
Yeah.
Jeopardy?
Yeah, it is.
No,
Jeopardy.
Okay. I don't think that's not math.
Okay.
Whatever. Okay. I mean, your first question, hypothetically, if we were to have one Nuggets loss, two Thunder wins, and two Timberwolves wins, what would that equal in the seedings?
So the Nuggets lose, T-Wolves win out, Thunder wins out, Minnesota's the number one seed.
I'm sorry. That is not right.
That's not your fault.
That is incorrect. I mean,
is that a Boston thing?
No, that's a Charlotte thing. I can't put that on anybody else but me. No, that would mean that hypothetically the Thunder would be the number one seed, because the way it works when you get into all of this is it's the head-to-head, but it's also the divisional record. The Thunder have not lost to another team in the West. They've lost to in their division,
right,
Spurs, but 18-1 means that they would have the top spot.
So
they'd be the top dog.
So when it's two teams, it's head-to-head, but when you expand it out to three teams with the same record, and I believe it turns into the win percentage of the three teams playing against each other. And that's why Oklahoma City is one? Okay.
Sure.
Take your word for it. Okay, well, how about this? Okay, let me throw one to you.
Okay.
What if the Knicks win the rest of their games, including the night against Boston, the game that we're going to be going to, and then the Bucks lose the rest of their games?
That's easy. Then the Knicks get the second seed in the West.
You're absolutely correct. I was a softball one to get you started.
Thank you so much. It's fascinating because the Knicks have three games to play. They're currently a game and a half behind the Bucks.
Yep.
Did anyone see them I'm still shocked that they're in third in the East right now, just given where we thought they'd be at the beginning of the season.
Well, no, I'm not. look, the OG
is very good.
Third is very good. The OG Anunoby deal changed a lot of things, right? And we all knew when they acquired him, like, okay, this is a big move, big time move for them. Mm-hmm. That January where they went 14-2, I mean, that really shot them up the standings. And then since then, they've been having to make do. Julius Randle gets hurt. OG Anunoby gets hurt. Mm-hmm. They can do another trade there. They get Miles McBride out of there. And they bring in the corpses from Detroit. But it's like they were kind of flirting around. I'll be honest with you, Charlotte. If Milwaukee collapsing is what's allowed this to happen.
Yeah.
For them to the Knicks even be in a position to be two. The fun thing, obviously, is if you're the Knicks, where about a week ago we thought they'd be four or five, mm-hmm. and now you got a chance to be two or three, is now you don't have to worry about seeing the Celtics potentially until a conference finals.
Right.
Matchup.
You're now on the other side of the bracket. I'm going to be interested to see what happens tonight, because obviously the Celtics don't have much to play for because they already have the number one seed.
Everything's locked up, yeah.
But I'm interested to see what they'll do or who they'll bring out. Or I feel like Joe Mazzulla is a kind of coach will be like, I know this game doesn't matter, but I'm going to contest shots anyway.
Yeah. or unveil maybe some stuff that they might pull in the playoffs.
Yeah, practice. Because that's what
Joe because he wants to practice during games. That's right.
Okay, I have another one for you.
Uh-huh.
You ready? Two Heat wins
mm-hmm.
and two Magic losses.
Mm-hmm.
And two Pacers losses equals
two Heat wins, two Magic losses, two Pacers losses. I think the Heat, it doesn't matter what happens, they're gonna be seven at best. So I think this is a trick question. I think nothing. What happens is the Pacers.
Not correct.
It's not your fault.
What's that?
I like doing the sound before the sound happens.
Is that Robin Williams?
Yes, obviously it's Robin Williams.
Okay, Chief. All right.
Yeah, come on.
All right, what's the answer?
So the answer is that the Heat make it out of the play-in because they are two games back of the Magic and the Pacers, and all three have two games left to play.
But the Magic can't be a play-in team, can they?
No.
Okay, so all right. All right, cool.
So the Heat, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, everyone was like, the Heat aren't going to do anything.
Mm.
They're in the play-in.
Yep.
People forget they lost their first game. And
to a bad Atlanta team.
Yeah, a very bad. And then almost lost to the Bulls.
They were down double digits in the fourth quarter at home against the Bulls in a do-or-die elimination situation.
And then they made it to the finals.
NBA Finals. It's the weirdest thing.
This team, I mean, but I just don't know how to talk about the Heat at this time of year.
This is the problem, right? Like, everything that we look at, that you usually look at, like, is this team a team that's going to do things? This team has been 500 over the last 20 games or so, right?
Right.
This team has had a bottom third of the league offense, bottom third in the league half-court offense for most of the year.
Yeah.
Like, it's... Nothing here indicates, and by the way, their record, even though they've got a good record, they're terrible against great teams.
Yes.
It's really built on beating up on bad teams.
Yeah.
I've been to a zillion Heat games, and the thing that happens more often than not is they just don't have the talent. They defensively, they're amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, against the Nuggets, like against the Sixers, like all these games keep coming to mind where it's like the other team says, you know what? We got starts like against the Mavericks last night. You know, they were up, they're down big. They make this comeback in the fourth quarter. They cut it to single digits. And then the Mavericks are like, oh, yeah, we got Luka and Kyrie.
Right.
And you don't.
You can like see the other team remember.
Right.
Like, oh,
yeah.
Sorry, we have superstars right
exactly.
now. Not that Jimmy Butler doesn't show up. But
he hasn't been showing up. I'm not saying he can't. I'm not saying he won't. But if we're looking at the body of work this season, more often than not, they run out of gas offensively. They just can't score points at will like other teams can. So everything logically, Charlotte says, hell no, they're not going to make a run. But this is exactly how we felt about them last year. And they made an incredible run. So I don't, in good conscience, I can't be here and be like, no, count the Heat out.
No, same. How much of an advantage do you think it would be to Spo to know who they're playing earlier, or is he the kind of coach who just like...
No, it's a massive advantage.
It is.
This is a staff that prides itself on preparation and game planning and the adjustments. When you make adjustments in a game, they're not ideas that hit you in that moment. They already know if this happens, we're going to do this. It's almost like a flow chart. If this, then this. If not, then that. And so that's why if you see, a lot of coaches have this, but Spo's is pretty detailed, that sheet that's tucked
in his back pocket.
Yep. So it's.
That's what I thought he was like reading the menu for what he's going to order after the game.
It's like a Cheesecake Factory menu. All right, Charlotte, I'm going to give you a harder one now, right? Because the last one I gave you was just too easy. What if the Kings lose out and the Warriors and Lakers both win out? So you got two Kings losses, two Warriors wins, two Lakers wins.
I mean, this is child's play. That means that both the Warriors and the Lakers can make it out of the play-in, hypothetically.
That's correct.
I know.
And now
I'm really good at this. I've been saying that I'm bad at math this whole time just to throw you off the scent.
This is where it comes in. You finally kick it in. Either the 9 seed or the 10 seed can escape the play-in to make the playoffs, but not both.
Yes, but in this scenario, the Kings would slide to the 10 seed, which would push the Warriors and the Lakers up to 8 and 9 in either order. And then the Kings have the tiebreaker over the Lakers and Warriors, so both teams would need to pass them outright, and then
that's right.
Bada bing, bada boom.
That's right. Like, so yes, there you can't be tied with either of them.
Right.
Okay.
It's really, I mean, it's like I'm a genius all of a sudden. But the Warriors are locked into the play-in tournament because the Suns beat the Clippers 124-108 last night.
Yes.
Because what a concept. Booker, Beal, and Durant all decided to play well together.
Well, I mean, the flip side of that concept is Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Russell Westbrook all decided not to play. Which, like, hey, having your guys available, that's a big advantage, like a great strategy. Mm-hmm. Having the other team not have any other guys available, that's an even better strategy.
Yeah, it's a really good
If you could just go strategy. Through the entire playoffs, like, could you not play Luka and Kyrie? And
Tatum, no.
Yeah.
Jokic, absolutely not. Who between those big three, if they were to play against each other, what's your money on?
The Clippers, and it's tough because obviously the Suns have talent. I just feel like the Clippers' talent fits one another a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
The Suns have a lot of duplication, and I know they've went all season long telling us they don't need a point guard and they're smart. But it's when you have someone whose job it is to do something, it's always better than someone who you're asking to do that job.
Mm-hmm.
So a simple way to put it is if you ask me to produce this show, I could. It's not something I'm incapable of doing, but is that the best use of my talents? Am I as top of mind with many of the job responsibilities? Probably not.
Right.
So we have producers who do the job,
right?
Because that's what they do, and that allows us to do what we do, which is look good on camera.
Which is smile and wink. I completely agree with you. I think that the Suns, to me, have never felt like they really knew what they were doing. Like, you know how Logan Roy in Succession is like, you're not serious people? That's sort of how I felt about the Suns all season, which isn't a very nice thing to say. And it's also not fair because they do have some great players. But I feel like before the season, I mean, when you and I were talking, doing shows, being like, what do we think is going to happen? It was like, well, and then there's the Suns who, you know, Booker and Durant. And then you had Bradley Beal. And look how great they are. It was always just assumed that they would be better than this.
Yes, for many people. They're better than this, yes. But I knew that wouldn't be, or I felt like it wouldn't be massive success for, it wasn't even about that. I didn't realize the health would be such a huge issue that
they'd
play less than half the season together, all three of them. I thought the bigger issue was everyone else on their rosters. Like, all those guys they filled out their rotation with were minimum salary guys. And the way to do minimum right is to get people who could have made more elsewhere but decided to take minimum.
Mm-hmm.
The way to do minimum wrong is to get people who were going to get minimum wherever they were going to be. And that's what the Suns did with their roster pretty much because that's all they had available to them because of all the salary tied up for the big three.
So if the Suns aren't a scary team on the lower end of...
Well, they are scary though. See, that's the thing. When you get to the playoffs...
So they are scary.
They are scary. But not scary enough to be a 1 or 2 or 3 seed, as we saw from the season.
Who are the scariest teams in each conference?
Okay, before we get to that, I do want to give you a real brain teaser, right?
Okay.
Okay. What if the Clippers win out?
Okay.
The Mavs split their remaining two. The Spurs beat the Nuggets.
Okay.
The Bears draft Caleb Williams. The Tigers hit the under on their spread.
What?
And Abbott Elementary wins a third Emmy. Why not? Have they won two or three?
Oh, I mean,
hold on. Let me look this up.
How literally many, none of that matters because the Clippers and the Mavs are already locked in the first round of the West to play each other.
What's going on here? I feel like this is the best you've ever been at anything involving math. You struggled with counting to 10 before.
All right. My cover's been blown. I mean, the answers were on that chalkboard behind you this whole time. Just the whole time. They've just been, you could have turned around. You could have got them all right, too.
Clippers and Mavs.
Right up there. Anybody could see it.
Who wrote this?
Powers of Observation. I don't know. Probably like some janitor.
We had this the whole time? Why the hell did I get a cheat sheet then?
Well, maybe you should be more observant. Coming up, we'll be back with a game called Odd Couples.
Is there anything on the back of this?
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Open your free iHeart app, search R&B Money Podcast, and start listening. Only on the Black Effect Podcast Network.
I said this to our producers the other day. I love royalty-free versions of songs you already know.
He lives for them.
And so every time I hear one like that, we're not going to say what song it's supposed to be, but it makes me smile endlessly. Charlotte, we're in Boston. The music, the theme, the drunk leprechaun behind us. At the DraftKings studio, we love it here. We're never leaving.
You're going to have to pry us out of here. Well, not with your cold, dead hands.
Yeah, no. Workshop that one.
Yeah, working on
but
it.
Charlotte, the Boston themes don't stop. We've got yet another game to play. As a welcome home to you, we're going to play a game called Odd Couples.
No.
Basically, we're going to take seemingly dissimilar Celtics icons and pit them against Boston icons. And I'm going to ask you, like, okay, is it this or that, right?
I was born for this, kid.
Oh, geez, that accent. Better duo, Tatum and Brown, or Affleck and Damon.
Oh.
Now Tatum, Tatum and Brown, they've had 450 win seasons together, right? They've been to the NBA Finals. They've been to the Conference Finals four times, right? They had the best record this year, in the league. And most importantly, neither of them are 30 years old yet.
It's crazy. They're both 19 years old.
Mere children,
and they've been
right?
doing this for 7 years.
On the other hand, Affleck and Damon have an Oscar.
Yeah.
They won a best screenplay for Good Will Hunting, and they've appeared in 14 movies together.
Okay, so there are a few things here about this matchup that might not be fair. Jason and Jalen are still in the middle of their careers.
Yes.
Damon and Affleck are too, but they're older. They've been doing this longer. I feel like maybe they've made more movies than they will make, if that makes sense. God, and I can't believe that Tatum and Brown... 7 years.
Yeah.
It feels like, oh my God. I will say though, duo-wise, I feel like obviously Tatum and Brown don't have the hardware.
Right.
Damon and Affleck do. Also though, I don't know that Tatum and Brown are talked about in as much of a duo, like sidekick, like they're together way.
Yeah.
Like Matt Damon, I say Matt Damon, you say...
Ben Affleck.
Right. Yeah. I say Jason Tatum. You say maybe in the MVP conversation.
No, yeah, I say Deuce.
Right, exactly.
Deuce is more of a sidekick.
His son. So I think I just have to give it to Matt and Ben, although yeah. I hope soon that changes.
Well, I mean, this is what I'm going to say. Like, you've seen Air, right?
Yes. Loved it.
You don't need an Oscar, Brown and Tatum. Just give me an Air. Give me something that makes me feel good and smile and oh, they're back. The boys are back together.
Yeah, but I think Air is like the Eastern Conference Finals again and again.
Well, maybe.
So I wouldn't hate an Oscar.
Okay, give me a Dunkin' commercial where you guys are wearing. It's funny, like neither Tatum nor Brown is a Dunkin' spokesperson.
Yeah, I know.
Charlotte Wilder.
Thank you.
Like,
I would like to be. I have DM'd Dunkin' Donuts in every possible social media app, being like, "Can I have a tracksuit?" Like, I'm late stage capitalism. We're in it. I'm going to wear it. Dunkin's tracksuit. Ben and Matt, come on the show.
I just want a sponsorship. Like, I'll take money.
That would also be nice.
All right. Next one for you. Better defender. Defender, defensive person.
Defender. Defender.
Jrue Holiday.
Uh-huh.
Or Paul Revere.
Paul Revere.
Now, some background here, some stats.
Yep.
Jrue Holiday last season was named the best defender by other players. The Athletic did this whole poll of NBA players, and they voted Jrue Holiday as the best defensive player. Meanwhile, Paul Revere warned Bostonians of a British invasion before the battles of Lexington and Concord.
This is a very easy one for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is no question. Jrue Holiday, by a mile, forever. First of all, he has made such a difference for this Celtics team. As much as I love Marcus Smart, the Celtics are better with Jrue playing defense. 135 million for 4 years.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Like, how do you feel about that? Because people forget, 9 months ago, this dude was talking about, maybe I'm going to retire.
Yeah.
And now he's locked in for 4 more years, 33 mil a year.
I mean, I think a huge part of this was the salary cap. The Celtics, his annual salary is now lower than what his option was. Yeah. So the Celtics are like, sure, we'll do this. And then we can try to be under one of the luxury taxes or aprons or chef's hats or like whatever the league has. And the reason I say that Jrue is hands down a better defender than Paul Revere got captured. People forget. My hometown, Lincoln, Massachusetts, he made it that far. And then they got his ass.
Well, the other thing also is like, I think there's been exaggerations of how far he rode. He
didn't. That's what I mean. Lincoln is like 12 miles away.
Yeah, like he's like, people think of him as like this huge marathon that he ran.
The marathon is longer than Paul Revere's ride.
No, and he was on a horse. So
yeah,
Charlotte Wilder.
Holiday doesn't get to play on a horse.
For the record, Charlotte Wilder hates freedom. Next one. Well, just look. Next one for you. More.
A silversmith.
Was he?
Yeah. He made the seal of the state of Massachusetts, I believe.
You learn something every day on Oddball. Mm-hmm. All right, Charlotte. More overqualified co-star. Kristaps Porzingis or Mark Wahlberg in The Departed.
Oh, wow. That was so atrocious.
The Departed?
Mark Wahlberg in The Departed.
All right. So KP is, is averaging a career high in points per possession, so he's incredibly efficient. Obviously, his numbers are down from where he was last year in Washington because he doesn't have as many opportunities. And I would say, argue that a lot of their defensive kind of like excellence this year has more to do with him and Derek White than it does Jrue Holiday, even though Jrue Holiday obviously does a good job as
just
well.
Just like up there in the perimeter.
Now, meanwhile, Wahlberg got a nomination, an Oscar nod, for Best Supporting Actor as Sergeant Diggum.
Oh, God.
And he's a proud son of Boston as well.
Yeah. He's also weird. I'm going to go with Kristaps. I don't even understand the question, if I'm being perfectly honest.
Like,
but I think I'm more into Kristaps Porzingis this year on the Mark Wahlberg in The Departed.
He got an Oscar nod.
Oh, my God. He
didn't win it, but he got the nod.
He was amazing. Can be a tie?
No. We're DraftKings.
Kristaps.
Okay. All right. That's my
final answer.
All right. So I do have to point out that Sergeant Diggum finished the job, though, in The Departed.
Yeah, maybe Kristaps going to.
Okay. We'll see. How about that? Wait to see.
Yeah. Wait.
All right.
I'll give my verdict after the finals.
All right. Charlotte, we've got a lot of these.
Okay. Hit me.
The producers went into overdrive.
I'm so psyched.
Better architect, Brad Stevens or Bill Belichick?
Bill, for now.
But not only that, but also, like, think about it, like, in retrospect, like, how much of it was the architecture if it was all just Brady?
Well, no, it was a lot of architecture because here's the thing. When I'm at Gillette with my boys and we're talking about this, it's definitely the roster that Belichick designed was just like unbelievable. People forget he won championships with lacrosse, D3 lacrosse players. I just think that he does not get enough credit for putting this team together, for giving Brady the weapons he needed. Brad Stevens, win one and we'll talk.
Brad, I got your back, man. I think Brad is actually doing stuff.
Yeah, I know. Brad's really good. I just needed to get that off my chest.
Better bald Bostonian, Derek White or Bill Burr?
Oh, well, Bill Burr's been balder for longer, but I think I want to give this to Derek White because it was really brave that he shaved his head this season.
Bigger green behemoth, Luke Kornet or the Green Monster?
Oh. This is remarkably stupid. Sorry, Luke, the green monster. It's literally a green wall.
Thicker, clam chowder or Big Baby?
Big Baby.
Better at harnessing and organizing resentment in a productive manner to affect rebellions. Celtics fans or Sam Adams? Not the beer, the actual dude.
I thought you were going to say Boston Tea Party. It was right there. Celtics fans.
We'll see you at the game tonight.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro. That's what it felt like.
Open your free iHeart app, search R&B Money Podcast, and start listening. Only on the Black Effect Podcast Network.